plate a potential nugget.
And in the book, you use a phrase which stayed with me. You say that we can think of the mind as a lens and our inner voice as a button that zooms it either in or out. I just thought, that notion of the voice is the one that sort of controls how close or how remote we are to a situation. I thought when I read it, it felt agentic, the fact that we have control over, do we want to be zoomed in or zoomed out?
Well, I think this issue of control is a really interesting one, and individual differences abound on people's assessments of the extent to which they have such control. There's actually research which has looked at, is there variability in whether and how much people think they can control their emotions? The answer to that is yes, there's tremendous variability. But then the work shows, well, does it matter if you simply think you can control your emotions for bringing about positive outcomes? And compellingly, the answer is yes, which makes a lot of sense to me. One of the first things I learned in graduate school is the ability to manage our emotional lives has two pieces or two core components. There's motivation and there's ability. And you need both of those pieces to be successful. You can know about every single tool that's out there, but if you're not motivated to use those tools, nothing is going to happen. On the flip side, you can be super motivated to manage your emotional life and believe it's possible, but if you don't know what the tools are, you're not going to be successful. So you really need both of those pieces. And, I think they're easily attainable.
One of the earlier guests in the podcast was a gentleman called BJ Fogg of Stanford, who actually talks about this almost like an indifference curve, where you've got motivation and ability and how you sort of, in the realm of habit forming, you need to ensure that you're sort of operating on the right side of the curve. Got it.
Yeah, BJ, I'm familiar with BJ's work and I'm a great admirer of it. And I believe this motivation ability distinction factors heavily into his model of habit formation. He has an additional element to it.
Trigger.
About situations and triggers. But but I think at its core, it taps into something very fundamental and also easy for people to remember. And I think that's also, one of the things it's important. Let me close the thought. A lot of the science that we're talking about today and that I talk about in my book is science that has been built on the shoulders of decades of very complicated, deep, nuanced research. Often the take homes from that work are really, really simple. And I think that is in many ways great, because I think for communicating this work for folks, like there are some simple nuggets, to use your phrase, that we can remind ourselves of when we're experiencing adversity. And that's not always the case in science, right? Sometimes you have very complicated research that is also really complicated to describe. And I don't think that's necessarily the case in this domain.
Building on what Ethan says, one of my earlier guests, BJ Fogg of Stanford University, who's authored the book Tiny Habits, speaks about the role of prompts in addition to motivation and ability.
So I knew motivation, ability, how they work together, and I knew that making something super simple would let you be consistent in creating a habit. But then it's like, how do you prompt it? How do you prompt it? And then that just happened, like a lot of breakthroughs. There's literally was getting out of the shower and it's like, oh my gosh, it's after. You figure out what this comes after and you use the preceding behavior to remind you of the next thing, this new habit that you want. And so then it all clicked and then I knew I had all the pieces in place, because it always comes back to just motivation, ability, prompt. And then I knew I had, here's this breakthrough way of habits where you're hacking three things. One, you're making the behavior super tiny, so you don't need much motivation. Two, you are prompting it through something you already do, an existing routine that we call an anchor in Tiny Habits. And then three, you manipulate your emotion so your brain takes notice and goes, whoa, that feels good. I want to do that again in the future. And so you don't leave that to chance. You deliberately celebrate and cause that emotion to fire off, which then changes the regulation of dopamine in the brain.
He goes on to speak about different kinds of prompts, whether internal or external, that could help us get things done. To know more about this, you can just go to playtopotential.com and visit the guest section and look up the conversation with BJ Fogg.